let's talk about the basic parameters of tochacha, right? Of the obligation to rebuke, where it comes from, what its limitations are, daraita, derabanan, and the very often shiloh, which is, what happens if I give tochacha? It's going to be an utter disaster. It's going to make things worse. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. I'll try to print out a card sheet for you next week. But where's the chiyuv from? Very good. The psukim in kedoshim. The pasuk says, "Lo tisnai achicha bilvavecha, hocheach tochiach et amitecha, velo tisa alav chet." Right. So you shouldn't embarrass you shouldn't hate your friend in your heart, and you shall surely rebuke your friend, and you shall not. What's lo tisa alav chet? Sure, something that.
Carry a sin upon him.
Good. So what's the problem? So this is clearly the pasuk from which we learn that there is a mitzvah of rebuke. But now help me, right? What is the connection between everything in this pasuk? Right, before we even get to Chazal, right, what is the... Say again? Okay. So Graeber says, well, if I just read the pshat, I would say it's... Don't rebuke him out of hate. Rebuke him because he, right? Now, what's the problem? Right? Meaning, so you're saying, well, I would rebuke him out of hate. But according to you, therefore, if you read it that way, then what would happen? If I hated someone, I shouldn't rebuke him? Is that what you're saying? Like, if there's someone who I don't like, and it gives me no greater pleasure than to tell him he's doing something wrong, then I can't tell him he's doing something wrong. Would there be limits to that? Like, if he's about to murder someone, so then I couldn't tell him to do something, that it was wrong? Okay, good. Right? What else? Right, so, many of the Mefarshim point out, there's another way of reading this, which is... When are you most likely to hate someone? When they're sinning against who? You. Right. So, for example, if you look at the Rashbam in Pshat, he just says, "Im gamalcha ra'a," if he did something bad to you, "lo titra elefanav ke'ohev." Don't pretend that you love him. Uvikirbo yasim arbo, and then when he gets close to you, boom, right, ambush him. Lo tov. That's bad. Don't hate him in your heart. What should you do? Hocheach tocheach. Meaning, so Rashbam says in Pshat, what it means is that when someone did something wrong to you, you should rebuke them rather than hate them. Then you won't have a sin in your heart. So if I just had the Rashbam, what would you say? Is there a mitzvah from the Rashbam's Pshat? Do I know that there's a mitzvah from the Pasuk? No, according to Rashbam, the Pshat of the Pasuk is not that I proactively have to rebuke people. It's that if the option is hating someone or getting it off my chest and telling him, don't do that, or what you did was wrong, and then bringing it out into the open so we can resolve it, then it's, right? Correct. And so first of all, according to the Rashbam, it doesn't have to be about mitzvah and avera per se. Second of all, it's really a function of the isser to hate. And it's, you can't hate him, so instead, you should, right? You should tell him. Right?
It's a prevention of those feelings.
Right, it's a prevention of hate. So again, so according to the Rashbam's pshat, does this have to do with, according to the Rashbam's pshat, does this tell you anything about the mitzvah of tochacha? Is there, right, in pshat, does he see an independent? No, he doesn't. Okay? Ramban says, "Ba'avur shederach hasonim lechasot et sinatam bilibam." The way of hate, people who hate, is to cover the hatred in their hearts. K'mo shamar b'svatavi naker sonei. He is kirek adu boveh. Ba'amar hocheach tocheach et amitecha mitzvah acheret v'lamdo tochochot musar v'lo tisa alav chet sheyeh lech asheim kasher yechta v'lo. So Ramban's first Perush is that how many mitzvot are in this pasuk? There's three clauses. How many mitzvot are there? Which is not two. Don't hate him and rebuke him. And what does lochisa alav chait mean according to him? If you don't rebuke him, then you're responsible for the aver he did because you didn't try to stop him. And he knows that the Rashba, that the uncle, that uncle seems to say the same. Velo yate lashon uncle sham, velaze yate uncle shamar lo tikabel al delay chova. Don't end up being culpable in his sin. Shelo tikabel ata onesh bechet shelo. And you won't be responsible. Vachrei kein siva shetehovo to. And then you get v'haftar echa kamocha v'ineshonere over bilav over lo mekayim asay. But according to the Ramban, in his first Perush, is there's two mitzvot here. Are they connected? No, not really. The second and third clause are one mitzvah, but the first clause, which is one mitzvah, and the second and third clause, the second mitzvah, are they related to each other? No. Yeah? Are we clear? In pshat. Again, let's first start just not the pasuk means. In pshat. And then he says, what's more proper? But then he says, the better pshat is what the Rashbam said, which is, when he goes against you, tell him, why'd you do that to me? And then he said, what are the mitzvahs that come after this? Don't take revenge and the like. Because he said, maybe you won't hate him. You'll just plot revenge. He said, don't do that either. Don't hate him. Don't plot revenge. Right? So his second day, like the Rashbam, is that the simple pshat is that the mitzvah of tochacha is a function, not of stopping. So, right, what's conceptually the difference between the two ways they're reading the psukim? Is that the Rashbam, the second day, and the Ramban are saying that really, in pshat at least, tochacha isn't about the other person's spiritual being. It's about your interpersonal obligation towards the other person. And therefore, it is a local obligation that when the alternative is hating him or getting it off your chest and telling him what you feel, you should do that. But the first day on the Ramban, which makes clause one separate from clause two and three, assumes that lotisna achicha belvavecha is ben adam la chavero, but ocheach tochiach is ben adam la'akom. It's you are responsible for their sin. There's nothing to do with you. But there is, but before we get there... No, I'm using the Rishonim to show you that when Chazal choose... Okay, this is an important methodological point, which is why am I doing this before I read the Gemara? Why am I doing this? What? I have no idea. So if you remember, we do this in the Gadot also, but I've done this in Halacha. Remember, the Rambam tells you that what is the mitzvah d'oraita of Talmud Torah, included in the mitzvah d'oraita of Talmud, is to understand how things came from the Pesukim. So before I get to the Gemara, I need to read the Pasuk and tell me what are the potential reads, right? If we're going to generate an independent obligation of tochacha, so we need to figure out what are the possible reads and what drive Chazal to take the read that they do. Right? So what I'm pointing out is very simple in the pshat. The major question that's going to lead to the question of how you read it in Chazal, or why Chazal read it the way they did, because we're going to see, obviously Chazal are going to assume there's a mitzvah of tochacha, is how do you read the connection between the first and the second clause. And as you see, in pshat, for them, what the difference between the first and second clause generate is a difference of whether the issue at hand is a function of your relationship with him or of the independent question of hodeach hochiach. Now, what other pieces of evidence are they working off?
Could you define that last clause again?
Right, meaning we've seen basically two berushim. One is that you shouldn't hate him, but that's independent of this. There's an obligation to stop someone from doing something religiously wrong. The other is, no, you're obligated to rebuke someone if the alternative is that you'll hate them. And therefore, rebuke is a function. Now, you'll tell me, why do I care? Because what is the next pasuk? Right? If I want to understand how Chazal read it, so what's the next pasuk? Lo tikom v'lo titor et b'nei amecha. don't take vengeance or hold a grudge. V'haftorecha kamocha ani Hashem, and love your friend as yourself. Now, in pshat, which of the two makes more sense? Reading those five clauses together. Remember, there are five clauses in a row. Don't hate your friend. Rebuke him. Lotzis al chait, which we got to figure out what that means. Don't take revenge. Don't hold a grudge and love your friend. Which pshat is more plausible in the middle of those five mitzvot? What? Right? So if Chazal are going to say that Ocher Tochi is independent chiyuv, then our work is cut out for us to figure out how Chazal read it. That's why I'm doing this. Why do I not jumping to the Gemara? I remember once I was in Rav Lichtenstein's shir, and someone had just transferred into yeshiva from another yeshiva. Very big Talmud Chacham. Arayom, very big Talmud Chacham. And Rav Lichtenstein started off, he was reading the Mishnah, and he said, okay, from the Mishnah, so what are the possibilities, right? What could it mean? And so we were going through all the Perushim, and someone raised his hand, and he said, why are you wasting time with this? Gemara tells you what it means. And Rav Lichtenstein said, yeah, and before I read the Gemara, I want to know what the possibilities were and what decision the Gemara chose to make, right? In order to understand the decision the Gemara is making, I have to figure out what the other options were, right? Because it's making a choice, right? So that's why I think it's worth spending at least a little bit of time just reading the pasuk without being biased. Not that lahalacha, that doesn't matter, but okay, but fine. But so that Graber doesn't go crazy.
It's okay.
So, but now let's let me read you the Gemara. Now the Gemara obviously has to relate to the full pasuk. The Gemara says as follows: the main sugya is an erech and tetzayin with bet, and the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan lo tisna d'achicha bilvavecha. Don't hate your friend in your heart. Yachol lo yakenu velo yistarenu velo yikalenu. So I might have thought that the prohibition to hate someone is limited to physical manifestations. Namely what? What's yakenu? To strike him. Yisterenu? What? With a samach. Samachtet. Stira. Rashi said, klachayat, it's this. Backhand. Slap it right. Not like necessarily damaging. Right, not like a punch, but right, backhand slap across the face, right? Or curse him. I'm as though that's what it is. Talmud Lomar. So now let's follow Chazal. They're very clear. Chazal are like, how do I know that that's not the only thing that's usher? Talmud Lomar. Bilva Vecha. It says in your heart. Sina Shebelev Akatuv Midaber. So then the Gemara says, okay, Minayin. L'roe bechavero davar migune shechayev lehochicho. How do I know that if I see my friend doing something disgusting, migune, now, shechayev lehochicho, that you have to rebuke him? Now, what's strange already about this formulation? Very good. Right? Is the Gemara doesn't actually say what we would think it would say, which is, how do I know that someone who's doing something usher? I have the miguneh. Right, miguneh. So what is that? Right, what's already weird? What questions are you starting to think about when you see that? When the Gemara says miguneh. So it could just be saying that anything the Torah says is usher is like objectively ich, right? Right. The other possibility is that you could limit this, right? This could be an expansive term or a limiting term, right? It could be only certain types of mitzvot. Or if I just had this piece of evidence, again, I'm not saying the halacha, this is what it is. But if I just had this line, you could say it's only certain types of mitzvot, or you could say it's more expansive. Namely, that obviously if they're doing something usher, I have to stop them. But what if they're doing something which is like borderline, right? I mean, pasnished. I don't know if it's technically usher, but right, there's an ambiguity there. So the Gemara says, Shenemar hocheach tochiach. So Gemara clearly at this point introduces the notion that there is a proactive mitzvah to rebuke. Does the Gemara think it is linked to lo tisna d'achicha bo v'avecha? Seemingly not, right? It's independent. You have to rebuke. But now you have another question, right? What would your next question immediately be? So there's going to be the drasha point, yeah. What is lotisa lov chait? And but even before that, the Gemara is going to say, okay, fine, I rebuked him. Now what? What again? That was a word you jumped. You're jumping. What's the problem? What's the question that you have to ask? So you could theoretically ask it, because all are assuming this point proactive. Okay, but now there's an obvious question. You said again. There's a different question you have to ask before you get to again. Meaning, is there, what if? Yeah, right, meaning, is it, right, there's two reasons I have to rebuke him. What's the two reasons conceptually you would have to rebuke someone? One is to make sure, to try to get him to stop. It's about him stopping. What's the other possibility? Very good. Is that you can't stand by idly watching and not do anything. What naftimina might there be to it? Yeah, is one possibility to what extent do I need to try to stop him? Right? Meaning, you could say, I'm chayev to protest. But that's it. Right? Once I protest, I've done my point. I've made it clear I don't agree with this. Now he does what he wants. Right? Obviously, if it's to stop him, presumably the obligation goes beyond that. Now, is it ironclad like that? No. First of all, it could be both are true. Second of all, within each side, you could ask. Right? Because you could say the obligation is to stop him, but there's a limit to how much I have to go through to stop him. You could say the limit that it's an obligation for you to stand up for what's right, but you could also say there's a limit to, right, how much you have to protest, meaning how many times do I have to say, stop, right? Don't, right? Now, we all know that there's different ways of, right, there's protesting that people believe, and then the protest that no one believes that you're actually protesting, right? Like, you ever see the old Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like the classic one from Gene Wilder? Right, Willy, yeah, the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right? The good one, right? And right, I think it's when, right? I think it's when Veruca Salt is starting to chew the gum that's not ready, right? And he says, "No, stop, don't," right? Right? There's this like wonderful moment, right? It's not ready. No, stop, right? It's like, or maybe that one he's more insistent. Maybe it's the other one. But one of them is right. It's very like, okay, so terrible thing.
Yeah, it just doesn't care.
Or is it Augustus Gloop? Maybe it's Augustus Gloop. Stop. Right, maybe it's Augustus Gloop. One of them, right? I know which one he is, but I don't remember which one he says, no, don't, right? And this like very like, oh no, right? So then he says, Augustus Gloop is the first one who falls into the chocolate thing. Yeah, I got it. Veruca Salt is the one who drinks, but I'm trying to think which one it is. And then there's Mike. I think. Oh, then it's Salt, where he does like. Oh yeah, that one. Right, do something. No, don't, please. Oh, it is Veruca Salt. Okay, I was right the first time. Veruca Salt. No, don't, please. Right. So. Exactly. So. So the Gemara says, okay, well, what do you do? Hochicha velo kibel. If you rebuke him and he doesn't accept. Minayin sheyachzor v'yochichenu. How do you know that you need to go back and rebuke him again? Tamad lomar. Tochiach. Rebuke him mikol makom. But now, obviously, what's the next question? So now I've said, okay, it's not just one protest. Now, we've said that could either be because your obligation is to stop him, or because you can't just get away with, no, please, don't, right? You got to be more like the mother there. Stop him! Right, like that, yeah. But now you got to figure out, okay, well, what's the limit? Right, is there a limit? And remember, floating in the back of our mind, in addition to the obvious practical question here, is there a limit? What's the other question you need to ask? Remember, there's still a third clause in the pasuk that we haven't dealt with. The Gemara is willing to accept that clause 1 and clause 2 are not related, are not necessarily related. But lotisa lov chet, the Gemara assumes, well, we don't know what it assumes yet, but we're going to see it. The Gemara is going to assume that the answer to the question of how much is related to clause 3. So the Gemara says, yachol afilu mishtanim panav. You might have thought that you have to keep doing it until his face changes color from humiliation. Rashi says, sheyochichenu b'rabim la'alpi banav. You might have thought you have to give him rebuke in public and yell at him and say, no, don't oversleep. Don't miss shacharis. It's terrible. Why would I'm using it as a theoretical because no one here has ever overslept and missed shacharis. It's never happened. Lo aleinu. Yes, exactly. So the Gemara answers, Talmud Lomar, lo tisa alav chet. So the Gemara puts now one limitation on it, which is, lo tisa alav chet is in the process of giving tochacha. Don't embarrass him. Don't publicly humiliate him. Okay? If he's going to be humiliated. Now, again, you have to ask, why is that the case? Right? Is it because this is like Ben Adam Machavera, I'm supposed to stop him from doing the Avera, but like there's a limitation. Like I have to balance his kavod with, you know, the prevention of the mitzvah, which is actually surprising because in general, we say in Chachma, v'neged Hashem, right? Is it because of effectiveness? Right? I mean, why would it be that humiliating him is... So why would you say humiliating him is not called for? So one is that it's not going to be effective. Maybe it'll be counterproductive. There's a practical. The second is, maybe that's just the shear of tochacha, right? Which is up to, you know, but stopping before humiliation. So I'm going to skip a few lines. Though I'm not sure I should. Because later on, the Gemara asked explicitly, ad heichan tochicha. Okay, and then I'll come back to this Gemara. So the Gemara later on seems to ask, and the Gemara says, ad heichan tochicha. So, here Rashi says, adam chayav lochil kaveiro. So, the first clause that said, you give him tochicha until he's embarrassed, where is the focus of that limitation? Where does it appear? In him. Very good. But there's a secondary question, right? There's a second question you have to ask. There's two reasons why you might be able to stop giving tochacha. One is his effect on him. What's the other possibility? On you. At what point do you have to stop? So Gemara, are you allowed to stop? So Rav Amar ad haka'a. Rav says, right? Until what? What's ad haka'a? Guys, what's ad haka'a? Guys, what's ad haka'a? That. Ad haka is until he beats you, until he hits you, right? Is that, now, then you have to ask the question, what's the obvious question you have to ask? Ad haka? Okay, but, so clearly, so first of all you have to ask, okay, there's the conceptual question is why is the limitation haka? And there's two ways of looking at it. One is, it's evidence he's not going to listen to you. The other is, right, maybe it's a levnei iver to get him in, or within you, right, if it gets to that point, then clearly you've protested enough. But there's a second question you have to ask, which is, every time you see the word odd, what question do you need to ask? Meaning, does he actually have to slap you, or is he allowed to stop when you see that he's about to slap you, or punch you, or kick you? I mean, whatever. You see, right? You have to wait till that punch actually lands. What if he punches and misses? Do I have to do it again? Right. Ushmuel Amar ad klala. Shmuel says until he curses you. Okay. Vrib Yochan Amar ad nizifa. What's nizifa? No? No idea? What? That is true, but that's not what nizifa means. So nizifa is more like he snaps back at you, right? Linzolf is like, Yatsa ben Aziv, as he went out, like, yeah, whatever. Like, he was told off, right? So something like he reprimands you back, right? So three shirim, presumably, but not necessarily, those are in descending order, right? Until he beats you, until he curses you, until he reprimands you, but not necessarily, right? Not necessarily, right? It could be that someone will beat you before he curses you, depending on what type of person he is. I don't know. And kitanoi. The Gemara says this is a machloket tanoim. That Rabbi Eliezer omer ha'ka, Rabbi Shimon omer ha'klala, ben azay omer ad nezifa. And now the word says, and where did they get this notion from? So omer Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak, u'shloshtan mikra echad darshu. They got it from the same pasuk. Vayichar av Shaul b'Yonatan. Shaul got angry at Yonatan. When did Shaul get angry at Yonatan? Well, not ran away yet, but yes. Meaning, which was what? For those people who don't know Tanakh, what is it? Shmuel Aleph, what happened? David. But he doesn't know that. What's going on? Shaul knows that David is going to be king. Therefore, he's keeping close watch on him and he wants to kill him. So what does he do? So Yonatan puts a test, which is, let's see if you don't show up to the Rosh Chodesh meal, whether he gets angry. So the first day, he says nothing. The second day, he's like, where is Ben Yishai? And Yonatan says, well, he had a family get-together at home, so I let him go. Vayicharav Shaul b'Yonatan vayomer lo, Ben Avat HaMardut. It's Ben Avat HaMardut. You perverse, rebellious son of a rebellious woman. Yeah, exactly, right? And then what happens? Now, the interesting thing here is right off the bat, what's weird about using this pasuk before we continue in the pasuk? Ah, very good. Yonatan is doing the right thing. So the Gemara isn't saying this halachic. It's interesting. What is the Gemara saying? So either the Gemara is assuming that Shaul thought Yonatan was doing the wrong thing, and that's enough. He assumes that Shaul, in his, even though he's doing something usher, thinks he's doing something mutter, and therefore you can prove from it. Or, what's the other possibility? What? Meaning what? Mean subjective in what sense? Right, meaning the other possibility is they're not proving that Shaul was doing a cheshbon. He was giving tochacha, he's figuring out how much he has to do tochacha. It was... The Gemara is understanding that the point at which you can stop doing tocha is the point at which, like, a normal person doesn't react this way, right? And Shaul's reaction to Yonatan, again, it's not halachic, but the point is, this is like, the point of the Sukkim is this is over the top. That Shaul is being over the top. And the point is, when you get to the point that someone's going to act the way Shaul did, then things are over the top, it's time to stop. And now, well, what is the continuation of the story? Like Graber, since you know Tanakh so well, what's the continuation of the story? Why do we get three drashot? So, three things happen. He says to him, first he yells at him and says, you son of a rebellious woman. Halo yadati ki bocherata leven Yishai levashtecha levoshet ervat imecha. I know that you have chosen the son of Yishai to your own shame and the shame of your mother's nakedness, right? Meaning you'd prefer him to be king. Ki chal... Hayamim asher ben Yishai chayel adam alo tikona tamachutecha vata shlach vekacho tiye laiki ben mavet hu. And as long as the ben Yishai lives on earth, neither you nor your kingship will be secure, so bring him me, because he is a dead man. Vayan Yonatan et Shaul aviv, vayom reilav, lama yumad me'asa. Now you get the different trotters. What is Gemara saying? It's not Shaul's reaction, it's very good. It's Yonatan's reaction, that Yonatan stands up for David. So who's the one giving Musar? Yonatan. Now, if I asked you, remember I said, haka'ah. How, what haka'ah? Right, a smack? Right, no, his father tries to kill him. He tries to put a spear through him. And Yonatan realized, my father Taka wants to kill Yonatan. So the Gemara now says, okay. So Lamande Amar haka'ah. Dichter lakoto. So the one who says you have to wait till you're going to be struck, seemingly even a serious bodily injury, assumes that who's giving the tochacha? Yonatan. And Yonatan keeps talking until his father tries to kill him. That's the limit. That's when we cut it. That's when we say, must be, not my responsibility anymore. Yeah? That's day one. Ribshua Omer Ad Klala and Barazeh Omer Ad Nazifa. Now, interestingly, when they say it's cursing, right, what does it read? This is the hard part, is what? So I could see two ways of reading this pasuk, right? One is the way we first read it, that it's deriving from Sholem just saying, you know, at what point is like reactions too much? But the way they're reading it, the way Rashi understands the reading is no. Is everyone here is assuming that the rebuke is Yonatan to Shaul. It's just that they're moving the order. They're like anticipating it, right? They're anticipating that there's basically implied rebuke from Yonatan, even at stage one when he says, what are you getting so angry about? He went home, even before the explicit rebuke. And then what does he say to him? Right, what does he say to him? So, no, what does Shaul say to him? Right? Meaning if they are assuming that Yonatan is the Mochiach and they're just looking at what is the reaction of Shaul. So one is that he cursed him, very good. And the other is Nazifa is just like, right? Ugh, you're terrible. You're a humiliation. Ah, ah, right? Okay. So he says, so Leman Diamar at Klala Dichtiv, Levoshticha, Levoshet, Ervat Imecha. Right? It should be for shame. That's how he understands Klala. So Klala isn't as like cursing, it means it should be for shame. And Ad Nazifa. What's Nazifa? Just Dichtiv, Ayicharav Shaul. Shaul got angry. Right? The point where Leman Diamar Nazifa Achtiv Haka Uklala. Okay, but according to Nazifa, he then keeps going until his father then tries to attack him and curses him. It does then imply you have to keep going even after the first level of Nazifa. So the Gemara is clearly assuming a hierarchy here. Shiny hatam da agav chavivuta yetera da have be leon and the nivin masar nafshe tve. He said, no, you can't prove it because Yehonatan maybe went above what he did, what he needed to do because he loved David. Meaning he could have stopped as soon as Shaul got angry. He kept pushing because he loved David, which might also soften the question of, do you think that lehalacha, haka'a, means you have to wait till the person puts a spear to your throat? Or is that just what Yonatan is doing because he loves David? One can easily say, pashtos, one need not go that far. That's just what Yonatan chose to do. So now, but maybe you could. Very good. But the Gemara seems to be entertaining two things. One is that you don't have that not everything Yonatan did is the minimal halachic standard. But Avi's right. You also derive from this the possibility that you're allowed to go beyond the minimal halachic standard. Right. So you might be able to. You might be allowed to, let's say, stop giving someone musar when they start yelling at you. Right. But if you wanted to, right? I mean, you know, I feel like this is like, you know, this appears in movies or TV shows when like a parent is trying to get their child to stop destructive behavior, right? Is they will stay there, right? You know, I'm not leaving here until you don't, right? Until you, whatever, go into rehab, right? And it doesn't matter, they start cursing them and they stay, right? They start punching them. Right, I'm not leaving. No matter what you do, I'm not leaving. Right, you know, like these are scenes in right. So it's saying you don't have to, but you can. Right. So now the Gemara has two limitations. Right, the first one was you don't want to embarrass him. Where the focus of the limitation is in the person who is in the sinner. The other machloket, the three day out, is clearly what do you have to endure? Right. Now, what is the difference between those two? What's the difference? Okay, yeah, but good. So what does that tell us about tochacha? Remember, we said, okay, but what's the nature of the mitzvah tochacha? Is it primarily about you being obligated to state opposition, or is it about you stopping them from doing aveira? So if I'd asked you right off the bat, you might have said what? Right? What? So, but what about these two limitations? If I let's say I only had one, that I would only say the limitations and, you know, how much do you have to endure? Okay, what would that imply? Would it imply anything? Not necessarily. You could read it both ways, right? You could say that I'm obligated to endure up to X to show that I really don't want the aveira to be done, or I care about him enough that I'm willing to endure up to, I have to endure up to X. What about the first one, him being embarrassed? Again, you could say, I have to worry about his well-being, but once other concerns that are about his well-being start to conflict, then I'm obligated. Right? That the first one's obligated, by the way. That's a big difference. Then I have to not embarrass him, right? I have to tone down the damage I could do to him in terms of his emotional well-being at the cost of his. But at least it overrides my involvement. It doesn't make it mutter for him to do it. It means that I should stop. So you could look at that, it's because it's about taking care of him. And the other is to say, no, is I can protest until such point that I start violating Yisurim in the process of my, in the process of my tochacha, right? So both could go both ways. So it's clear that there's focuses in you and focuses in him, but conceptually you could justify both. Now in the middle, the Gemara says, okay, if I just had the beginning of the Gemara and the end of the Gemara, so then I would say, so what should you do next time you see somebody doing something usher, oversleeping for shachris, going to right? Exactly. Next time you see someone going to have a cheeseburger, next time, you know, that happens all the time, obviously. Next time you see your friend deciding to go to, God forbid, a forbidden movie, Rachman al Salam Aleinu.
In the bay.
You know, for theoreticals, we're getting too specific here. I'm bringing theoreticals that would never happen. Rachman al Salam Aleinu. What? No, no one would ever watch, God forbid. So, what would you say? If you just said this, what would you assume? That everyone has to. But now the Gemara introduces another factor, which is when you give Musar, when you give Tochacha, what's important? So the Gemara says as follows. Tanya, there's a bright already. Amrei Tarfon. Temeheni ani, I would be shocked. Im yesh bedora zeh, mikabel tochacha. I'd be shocked if there was anyone in this generation who knows how to take rebuke. Wow. Okay. Now. Why? Because what happens? What happens? He says, Im omer lo tolkisim mibein einecha, if you tell him, take the splinter out from between your eyes, right? Meaning you're doing something wrong. What is the response?
No.
No. Amar lo, he'll tell you, Tol Korah b'mein einecha, take the full beam outside of from yours, right? Meaning you say to him, how could you oversleep for shachris? And he'll say, well, you get to tell me that when you wake up, when you make it to any minion, but I haven't seen you at minion for the last 3 months, right? Right? Or don't watch that movie. You know, it's inappropriate. And they're like, well, I've seen what you watch, right? Like something like that. Yeah.
We're all heretics here, so you can't say anything.
Yes, exactly. It's don't read that sefer, right? It's a sofek kvira. It's like, yeah, but I've seen what you read. It's vadai kvira. Right? It's vadai kvira. Right?
You did something wrong. It's irrelevant whether or not I also do the same
thing. No, inachanami. This is, no. So, okay. At this line, do we know yet whether there's a halachic import to this line? We don't know. He just says that people aren't good at accepting Musar. Right? But we don't know. Okay. So far, we don't.
That will be the response, not that it should be.
No, not that it should. It will be. But then he says, but then Rabbi Elazar ups the ante. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Timahani and Yesh Bedor Azeshu, Delo Chiach. No, I would be shocked if there's anybody in the generation who knows how to give Mussar.
That includes himself.
Yes.
Is this an example of the...
And then Rabbi Yochanan ben Yuri pipes in. Oh, okay, we're not going to do this because of Marif. Okay, let's stop there. But this obviously is going to have a lot of implications, because if your giving Mussar isn't going to be effective, then you got to figure out, well, then should you give it? Meaning, no, sorry. There's one thing that's not going to be effective. The second is, and what if you don't even know what you're doing, right? There's a nice way of saying this, which is, not you. Theoretical person who's over here. Don't you understand the importance of Kriyat Shema? You're so normally so good at it. I know last night was a hard night. Your Shema just, it brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, because you've thought, only really understand God. Right? There's that. And then there's playing a recording of me saying, wake up, you lazy pups, right?
I have the recording.
That's the fast one.
I can play it for you if you'd like.
Yes.
What do you mean? It alternates.